Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Gimel. We're holding two words from the end of the page, three words from the end of the page on Pesachim Daf Beis Amud Beis at Meisvei. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rebecca and Ari Zucker for Hoda'a for their first child, who was born on Thursday, Mazel Tov, and Lizchus Refor Shalema for that baby, Tinok Ben Rivka Tamar. He should be Zucker to Refor Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. Also sponsored by Uri Katz in honor of the 29th yard site of Shimon ben Uri Shraga Olav Shalom and the Shambashav and Aliyah, and also sponsored by Elisha and Daniela Graf in honor of Rabbi Chanoch Teller. Today's daf is going to discuss the following issues. It's all about Lishna Nikia. First, we're going to finish up our conversation about the definition of the word R. We had 11 rayas in yesterday's daf as to how to define the word R. We're going to have four more rayas in today's daf, that the word R in fact means night when it's used in the Mishnayos, which is just going to then beg the question, why does our Tana use the word R? And that's going to lead us into the conversation about how we always try to speak in the more refined and nicer and upbeat kind of language. And the Gemara is going to mention four possible sources in the Torah where the Torah actually wrote extra letters in order to express itself in a more refined and dignified way. The Gemara is going to talk about how we balance that concern with a counter concern that we always prefer brevity when communicating Torah to other people. So when speaking with a clean language is going to take longer, what do you do? And then the Gemara is going to conclude with several stories, five different stories about people who were discovered to have questionable or negative lineage based on their undignified manner of speech, or people who were destined for greatness based on their dignified manner of speech. So we see the key role that speech plays in terms of the dignity or reflection of the dignity of a person and the level of a person. So let's begin. Again, three words from the end of the page, Daf Beis and Beis. Meis Femar Zutra. So again, Raya number 12 right now as far as what does the word R mean. So the Mishnah discusses in Maseches Krisus. The halacha is, the Torah tells us, Isha ki sazriya, if a woman gives birth, so if she gives birth to a baby boy, she's Tameh for 7 days and then Tahar for 33 days. If she gives birth to a baby girl, she's Tameh for 14 days and then Tahar for 66 days. And then she brings a Karban Yoledes. So the Karban Yoledes is brought at the end of that period of time. So on morning 41 for the baby boy, morning 81 for the baby girl. If a woman has another miscarriage in that time frame, in those 40 days or in those 80 days, then she's not Chayiv a separate Karban. She's not going to be Chayiv a new Karban. It's included in that one Karban Yoledes. But once those 80 days pass, even if she has not yet actually brought her Karban, but the days have passed already and it's now day 81 or 82 and she hasn't yet brought her Karban and she has a miscarriage, now she's going to be Chayiv in two Karbanos. What this Mishnah discusses is, what if it's not already the morning of day 81 when she could have brought her Karban, but it's the night going into the 81st day. So the 80 days are over, but day 81 when she could have brought her Karban has not yet begun. So now she has a miscarriage. Is that going to be mechayev her in a new Karban? Or do we say, no, that's like having a miscarriage within the 80 days where she's pata from a new Karban. So I'm apelles, or lishmona ve'echad, if she has a miscarriage on the or of day 81, so beshame potem rekarban besil mechayev machlogs beshame besil. Beshame says she's pater. It's like having the miscarriage within the 80 days. Besil says she's chayev. It's like having the miscarriage on the next day. So amru besil beshame. So besil says to the amru lahem besil beshame. Besil says to the beshame, how could you say that she's going to be pater from a carbon? Maishna or shmona ve'echad miyom shmona ve'echad. Why should the night of the 81st day be any different than the day of the 81st day? And im shiva lo l'tumah lo yish lo l'carbon. Think about it, says Besil. If she miscarries on that night, is she going to be tameh? Is she going to have to start counting another 14 days of tumah? And then, so certainly yes, meaning her days of tara are already over. So as far as tumah is concerned, it's going to start the clock again. So why, when it comes to a carbon, should it not be viewed as a new time period in which she's now chayiv of a new carbon? So whatever the conversation is, and in Maseches Krisus we get into more detail back and forth between the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai, but the point over here is not about that. The point over here is just the usage of the term Or, what does or mean in this Mishnah? So, midkam beisil beishamai maishno or shmona veachar miyom shmona veachar shma mina or two. From the fact that he said maishno or shmona veachar from yom shmona veachar, so we see very clearly that or means or to that or means night, shma mina, that raya is accepted. Says Gemara Meisvei, raya number 13. Yachal yeinechal or lishlishi, you might think that a carbon shlamim, the halacha is, gets eaten for 2 days and one night, which means that if I bring a carbon shlamim today on Tuesday, I eat it, let's say I bring it at noon today, I can eat it the rest of the day, Tuesday night and Wednesday day. So says Gemara, Yachal yeinechal or lishlishi, you might think I could eat it Wednesday night as well, the or of the third day. And there's a certain, it makes certain sense that you should be allowed to eat it the next night, because after all, the halacha is that there are certain karbanos that can only be eaten for 1 day and one night, and other karbanos that can be eaten for 2 days. So those karbanos that can only be eaten for 1 day, like the karban todah is 40 loaves of bread in addition to the zevach, in addition to the animal, and that's what the achronim explained, that it's dafka 40 loaves of bread that have to all be eaten in 1 day, because that's the source of the concept of su'udas hoda'ah, that when you want to give todah, when you want to give thanks, I guess that's a daf yom Thanksgiving, right? When you want to give thanks, you have to do it in a public way. So the best way to do it, that the Torah mandates, do it in a public way. It doesn't tell you how many guests you have to have; just tells you how much has to get eaten in 1 day. And there's no way you're going to be able to eat 40 loaves of bread. So obviously you're going to have to invite a lot of people for the meal to give the hoda'ah. But a carbon todah is eaten for 1 day, and a carbon shlam is eaten for 2 days. Well, mala halon laila achar yom. Just like by the carbon todah, if I were to bring a carbon todah, let's say this Thursday on Thanksgiving, Thursday night I'm allowed to eat the carbon as well. It's laila holich achar yom. The laila also by kachim, the laila is holich achar yom. Outside of the mikdash, the yom is holich achar laila. Special than by kachim, that the laila is holich achar yom. So I would be allowed to eat it Thursday and Thanksgiving night and Thursday night as well. So avkan laila achar yom. So too over here, when it comes to a carbon that can be eaten for 2 days, like a carbon shlamim, we should say laila holich achar yom, that night after the second day is also good. So it would make sense to say such a thing, and that's why I would think that that's true. Tamalomar biyom zivchachem yeachel umimacharas. Pasuk says you eat it on the day of the zevach umimacharas, and then it says vanosra ad yom, and whatever is left over until the yom hashlishi, whatever is left over on that third day, that's going to be beishi sarev, that's going to have to be burnt. So ba'od yom unechal veinunechal la'ar shlishi. We dash him from the pasuk that you can only eat it during the day of the second day, but not on that night. Oh, yachal yisarif miyad. So if I'm going to bring the carbon again today on Tuesday, and I can eat it Tuesday and Tuesday night and all day Wednesday, but I cannot eat it Wednesday night. So I would think I should burn it right away Wednesday night. Why do I have to wait until Thursday morning to burn the nosar, to burn the leftovers? I should burn it right away. Vidinu, and that would make sense as well. It would be logical. Because vachem nechalim liyom v'layla echad, ushlam nechalim l'shnei yom v'layla echad, a carbon todah could be eaten for 1 day and one night, and yet when and the carbon shlamim could be eaten for 2 days and one night. Malahalan take of lachi l'sreifa, I can't take of lachi l'sreifa. Just like by a carbon todah, if I could eat it today and tonight, that means by tomorrow morning, as soon as I can no longer eat it, I got to burn it as soon as I can no longer eat it. So I would think the same is true by a shlamim. If I could eat it today, tonight, and tomorrow day, then as soon as I can no longer eat it, tomorrow night, I should have to burn it. Tamalomar vanosam mibasar hazevach beyom hashlishi be'eshi sarif. The pasuk says, when do you burn it? Bayom hashlishi, bayom atasarfo viatasarfo belaila. You burn it during the day, you do not burn it at night. So it lies in limbo on that second night, right? If I bring the karban shlamim today, I eat it today, tonight, tomorrow day, and then tomorrow night I don't eat it, but I cannot burn it yet, and then the following morning is when I burn it. Why do we quote all of this? Because the word or was used. We said yachal, we had a havamina that it would be nechal, or lishlishi, so midkamer yenechal or lishlishi alma or ortuhu. So you see that or is orta, that or means night, shmamina, that raya is accepted as well. Now raya number 14. So if you're keeping score, we had 7 rayas from Psukim yesterday, and then we started bringing rayas from Mishnayos. This is our 7th raya from a Mishnah. So there's a lot of symmetry in the sugya. 7 rayas from Psukim, 7 rayas from Mishnayos, and then the final raya is going to be from a brisa on our Mishnah. So it's going to be sort of a standalone raya. So the 7th and final raya from Mishnah, Tashma, And the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Yuma that Or Shal Yom Kippur Mispal Sheva Misvada, on the Or of Yom Kippur you should say seven brachos in your Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is a bit of a misnomer. In your Amida, in your what we call Shmona Esrei, you say seven brachos with a vidoy. Shachris Mispal Sheva Misvada. By Shachris also seven brachos and vidoy. By Musaf Mispal Sheva Misvada. By Musaf you say seven brachos with a vidoy. By Mincha Mispal Sheva Misvada. By Mincha also seven brachos and vidoy. By Arvis Mispal Me'ein Shmona Asar, and then Marav Motzoi Yom Kippur, you daven a modified version of Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel Omer Mishumavosav Mispal Shmona Esrei Shleimos Mishatzarich Lomar Avdala B'Chonin Adas. Not a modified version. You daven the full Shmona Esrei. Why do you daven the full Shmona Esrei? Because you're going to need to add Avdala in Chonin Adas. But look, the point over here is that we're trying to bring out is not about the particular halacha relating to Avdala, but the fact that when we describe the Marav of Yom Kippur night, we called it Or, Alma Or Ortu, Shema Mina. This also is a Raya. So of the 11 Rayas we brought yesterday, only two were acceptable. So far we brought three Rayas today, and we have no response to any. All three are acceptable Rayas. So now we have a total of five Rayas that we've accepted that tell us that Or, in fact, means Orta. Now we happen to mention over here that the reason why Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel says to the same as Shmon Esrei Shleimos, to daven a full Shmon Esrei on Motzoi Yom HaKippurim, is because you have to say Avdallah in Chonin Adas. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chav Tes tells us that Rav Nachman Bar Shmuel says Kol Hashana Kulam Mispal Adam Avinenu. The whole rest of the year, a person can say Avinenu, the abridged version of Shmona Esrei. Chutz Motzei Shabbos Motzei Yom Tovin, but not a Motzei Shabbos, not a Motzei Yom Tov. Why? Because Avdallah B'Chonin Adas. You have to say Avdallah in Chonin Adas, and if you're not saying a full bracha of Chonin Adas, how can you say Avinenu? So the Gemara over there follows up. The Gemara Maseches Brachos says Marzutra asks, wait a second, why can't you include Avdallah in Havinenu? Meaning add a phrase about Avdallah, say Mavgil ben Kodesh L'chol. And the Gemara leaves that as a kasha. The Gemara doesn't answer that kasha. So the Ramban and the Rashba point out that you can ask the same kasha Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel over here. And the Ramban and the Rashba answer that the Gemara's kasha is only about someone who normally davens with the bracha of Havinenu throughout the year. So on that, we can have a kasha. Why not just throw in Havdallah b'chonin adas? You're so used to it, you can modify it. But someone who typically doesn't say Havinenu, and the only reason you're saying an abridged version is because you were fasting and you're hungry and you want to get home and you're... Okay, so that's the only reason you're saying the abridged version of Shmona Esrei. So you're not going to be sufficiently familiar with it in order to make adjustments dafka for Motzei Yom HaKippurim. So just because the Gemara asked the kasha on Marzutra and Brachos does not mean that it's a kasha on Bichanin ben Gamliel over here. Maybe a kasha on Marzutra, but not necessarily on Bichanin ben Gamliel. The Ritva suggests that Motzei Yom HaKippurim we have to be choshesh, extra choshesh, and a person is going to make a mistake because he's ma'una. He doesn't have daitum yusheveslov. He's been fasting all day. That is, sometimes, you know, people think that it would be a really from thing to daven a really long marav on Motzei Yom Kippur. That's not really the tradition. The tradition is that maybe to daven in a more obviously with kavana. You always have to daven with kavana, but not to schlep out marav on Yom Kippur. You have to realize that people are fasting. A lot of women are home waiting for their husbands to make avdallah before they're going to eat. So you have to make sure that things move a little more expeditiously. But we don't say the abridged version. And that's what the Rishonim explain, either because you're not accustomed to saying it and we're afraid that you're going to mess up the Havdalah, or because it's just that a person's not in their right frame of mind to be playing around with the Nusach of their Shmona Esrei on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. The Ramban then says that there are those that answer that even on Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara's Kasha and Brachos applies, but whenever the Gemara leaves something as a Kasha, it means that there's an answer to the Kasha. The Gemara didn't leave it as a Tiyufta in Maseches Brachos, it left it as a Kasha in Maseches Brachos. So the Gemara could have said to answer the Kasha Marzutra the same thing that we're going to say to answer over here, that we don't trust people, whatever the answer might be. So what exactly might that answer be? So Rabbi Yonah in Maseches Brachos says that the answer might very simply be that you can't just add in Havdalah to the Havinenu Bracha. By Havinenu, every little phrase is an abridged version of a full Bracha of Shmona Esrei. So if you were to add in Havdalah Havdalah to Avinenu would make it sound like Havdalah is a separate bracha in Shmon Esrei. So you can't just put Havdalah into Avinenu. It doesn't lend itself to be added to Avinenu, because that would give the impression that it's its own bracha of Shmon Esrei, but it's not its own bracha of Shmon Esrei. And therefore, we can only add Havdalah into what is actually a Shmon Esrei. Okay, says Gemara, now the final raya. Tashma, the Tana de Shmuel. The Tana de Shmuel taught a brisa elaborating on our Mishnah. So our Mishnah said the words are larbas or botnes chametz lo aner. So the Tana de Shmuel just elaborates and clarifies. So if our whole question was, what does the word or mean in our Mishnah, the best place to look is a Braisa that describes our Mishnah in a little more detail. And what does the Braisa do? Instead of the word or, it replaces it with the word lele. So that's as clear as it could possibly be. Alma or ortuhu. So very clearly you see that or means night. Ela ben Rav Huna ben Rav Yehuda, the kuli alma or ortuhu. So wait a second, we started off this Masechta in the Gemara with the Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, whether R means night or R means nagi or R means day. So wait a second. Now we have a clear raya that R means night. Forget about it. We had many rayas from all the Mishnayos that R can mean night, but we know for sure in our Mishnah that R means night from the Braisa, velo pligi, and there is no machlokas about this. So says the Gemara. You're right. Both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda would agree that R means night in our Mishnah. But we said on Beis Amud Aleph that it might mean nagi, that or could mean nagi, that Rav Yehuda says it means leili, but Rav Huna says it means nagi. So what's Rav Huna going to do? V'lo pligi, mar ki asrei, v'asid Rav Huna kari nagi, v'asid Rav Yehuda kari leili. They were both referring to night. It just happens to be that where Rav Huna came from, they would use the word nagi to describe night, and where Rav Yehuda came from, they would use the word leili to describe night. So when they were asking what or means, where they both said it means night, they were just each using the language that was employed where they came from. That's why the Gemara said Kasal Kadaitach Mandi Amar Nagi Nagi Mamish. Remember, Rabbi Zamanav said there's a Havamina that the one who said Nagi means Nagi Mamish, but he doesn't. It's just that's the way they would speak where Rav Huna came from. V'tana didan my time alo katani lele. Why doesn't our Tana just say it straight? Why do you have to tell me or just say lele? So answer Gemara Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Nakad. We try to speak in the most refined language and upbeat language possible. Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Nakad. That the Torah itself teaches us an example not to be motzi davar megunim bipiv, not to speak in an unrefined way by actually adding 8 extra letters in the Torah to show us not to speak in an unrefined way. Shenemar, because the pasuk says mina behema hatahora umina behema asher einena tahora. The pasuk by Noach when the pasuk tells us that about all of the animals that Noah had to bring to the table, min habehema tor, min habehema asher, not tamea, einena tahora. So it's 8 extra letters in the Torah just to not use the word tamea, to instead use the words einena tahora to teach us to speak balasha nakia. The Chizkuni has a fascinating point. He says from Rav Shur ben Levi, it appears that the word tahora, the second word tahora in this pasuk, is malaya. It's with a vav. Asher einena tahora tes hey vav resh hey. And it's not, but in our Sefer Torah, it's written chaser without a vav. He says, because if it's the way it is in our Sefer Torah, the Torah is adding 7 letters, not 8 letters. The fact that the Gemara says that it's adding 8 letters implies that they were assuming that the word Tahura is with a vav, which would highlight the point that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that Einon Bekiyin Bechaseros V'Yaseros, we're not experts in the Chaseros and Yaseros in the Torah, and it could be that Chaseros and Yaseros were off over time. The Marsha is not so bothered by the Kasha, though. The Marsha says that the Raya of Rabbi Shur ben Levi is from the fact that it didn't say Tameo without the Hey Hayadia. Instead of Hatameo, it could have said Tameo, and that's how you get your 8 letters. Rav Papa Amar Teisha. Rav Papa says that it's really 9 letters. Shenemar Kiyeh B'cha Isha Asher Lo Yiyeh Tohar Mikrei Laila. Again, Asher Lo Yiyeh Tohar instead of Tameh, and that's talking about a Balkari. Ravina Amar Eser, that it's 10 letters, because Vav de Tahar. The Vav in the letter Tahar is an extra letter. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Sheish Esrei, 16 letters the Torah goes extra. Shnei Amar, Ki Amar Mikre Hu Bilti Tahar Hu Ki Lo Tahar. So that's a lot of extra letters to describe that which is that which is Tamei. That's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that Lo Diber Shol Mu'uma B'Yomahu, that Shol didn't speak in Divrei Torah on that day because he said Mikre Hu Bilti Tahar Hu Ki Lo Tahar. So Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Olam Yisapar Adam B'Lashon Nekiya, that a person in general should always speak in the cleanest, most refined language. Shari Bezav Karu Merkav U'Beisha Karu Moshav. When we talk about the Tumas Moshav that Zav Anida Yoledas transmits, by a Zav we call it a Merkav, let's say the saddle that a Zav rides on, we call it a Merkav. By an Isha we don't call it Merkav, we call it Moshav. The word Merkav implies riding with legs on two sides of an animal, and that's an undignified way to speak about a woman. So we call it Moshav, like sitting in a more tsanua way. Va'omer, and secondly, there's a pasuk Vativkar Lashon Arumim, Va'omer, and V'dasiv Sebar Milalo. So we have three different psukim that teach us that you're supposed to speak in a more refined manner. So says Mara, why do I need three psukim? My V'omer, what's the second pasuk? V'chite mani mili b'daraisa. You might think that the Torah speaks in a more refined manner. Avul b'drabana lo, but the Rabbana need not be so careful. So Tashma Va'omer V'tivkar Lashon Arumim, that the Rabbanan should speak b'lashon arum. The Rabbanan have a mitzvah to speak in a more refined way. V'chiteim, or why do I need a third pasuk? V'chiteim ani mili b'drabanav b'mil dal malo. You might think about rabbinic matters, you have to speak b'lashon nekiya. But if you're just stop having conversation about mundane matters, that it's unnecessary to speak in such a way. V'omer v'dasvas haybar milalo. That a person should speak in the most clear way. Everybody should speak in the most clear way all the time. I told the story apparently last cycle that I heard from a friend that Rav Pam used to say about his mother, that his mother was never able to say the word sheker. She thought it was just a dirty word. She would say it's nishtemes. She couldn't say something that was so negative sounding. So Rabbi Teller left me a voicemail this morning that if you want stories about Rav Pam speaking Lashon Nekiya, I have many, many more stories and much better stories than that one. But he didn't tell me any of them in the voice notes, so I don't know what they are, but there are much better stories about speaking Lashon Nekiya. Okay, so a lot of good stories. Ubi ishalo, but by an isha, does it not say, does it eloksiv b'merkav? By a woman, does it never say the word merkav? Vaksiv v'takam rifka v'na'aroseha v'tirkavna ala gemalim. So you see, he uses the lashon of rechiva, even though it's describing a woman. Says Gemara, no, because when the pasuk is trying to express to us a certain feeling that they're having that could not be expressed with the word moshav, it will use the word merkav by a woman as well. Meaning when we're talking about stam tuma, that a zavar, zavan idiolet, this is sitting on. So you don't have to tell me merkav, because we're not trying to tell any story. We're just trying to tell halacha. So if you're sitting on something, we could use the word moshav. But when we're describing an event that happened, and we want to describe the emotion of the event, we want to describe what people were feeling, so merkav implies a certain amount of fear that a person has. Vatirkavna ala gemalim. So it says, Mar hasam shum biyasusa de gemalim orchihi. It's scary to ride on a camel, and because it's scary to ride on a camel, the best way to express that is vatirkavna. I don't know if you ever went camel riding. I went camel riding when I was a little kid in Camp Stei Chemed. I was scared. It's really, really high up, and apparently a camel lifts both legs on the same side at one time, so it feels even shakier than other animals. So it's kind of scary. V'aksiv v'yikach Moshe es ishto v'esbanav v'yarki v'malachmor. What about by Tzipora? Moshe Rabbeinu took es ishto v'esbanav, and he was mark of them, not on a camel, on a chamor. Chamor is not so scary. So how come it says Lashem Rochev over there? It says Mar Hasam Yishum Banav Orchehu. Because it wasn't just Tzipora, it was also their children who are male. So it's normal to use the Lashem Rochev. V'aksiv v'hi Rocheves ala chamor. But doesn't the Pasuk also say v'hi Rocheves ala chamor? And that's in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, where it's talking about Basheva. So says Gemara, Hasam Yishum Biyasusa Delele Orchehu. No, because it was nighttime, so to express the fear that must have been involved in riding during the night, so that's why it uses the Lashon of Rochev. Or there was fear of going to greet the king, and you don't know what he's going to do, you don't know what he's going to say, so that's why Biyasusa to David is what she was afraid of. That it's not Biyasusa to David, even if it's not Biyasusa to David, it's not fear of David, it's Biyasusa to Har, it's the fear of the mountain. mountains. So that's why Dafka speaks in such a lashon, because of the fear of it was Bathsheba? Was it Avigail? That was so because Biasusa de what do we say? Biasusa de har. It's the fear of the mountain. Yeah. So now, we said that you're supposed to speak belashon nikiya and belashon katsara. There is a chasam sofer where the chasam sofer and parshas Naso raises the question: why does the malach say to the Yeshus Manoach? The haftarah for parshas Naso is the story with the Yeshus Manoach being told about the child that she's going to have, having to be a Nazir, and she, the prelude to the story of Shimshon. So why is the Malach say to the Yeshus Noach, Va'al tochli kol tuma? By Noach it says, Mina behema sharenena tahora hi. So why does it use the lashon of tuma in such a and Rabbi Shubba Levi learned in our sugya not to be motzi dover maguna from the way it says by Noach? So why by ma Noach and Eishes ma Noach does he use the lashon of tuma? So he says because al tar b'sicha me'isha is a counter consideration that he was speaking to Eishes ma Noach. So al tar b'sicha me'isha, that we had in Maseches Erevin, right? That Bruria was mochiach that when you're that you don't say eze derech nelech lelud, it's eze lelud. You have to say it in the shortest possible way because of al tar b'sicha me'isha, and that's what the Chasam Sofer explains the whole story over there. When Manoach says I need to talk to this malach, right? What happens in that story? Manoach says ha'ato isha asher dibarta li'isha. The malach comes back to talk to Manoach. Manoach says, are you the one asher dibarta li'isha? Ata yavo devarecha ma'iyah mishpat anar ma'aseu. So now I want you to tell me what exactly is going to happen with the child. It's such a strange story. The malach already told the woman, right? He didn't believe his wife. He needs the malach to tell him directly what's going on. So says Chasam Sofer, Manoach is trying to be mochiach the malach. You only talk with women? What happened exactly that you would only talk to a woman? Because you spoke. He said ha'ata that you're the chassid asher dibarta eli isha. You don't speak with a husband. You're not careful about sichas nashim. So yavo dvarecha. Let me hear if you're going to speak to me in the same way. Meaning, let's see if you speak b'lashon katsara to me as well, or if you're going to speak in a longer lashon to me, because as you should have done in the first place. And that's why the malach said to Manoach v'kol tuma. The Chasam Sofer says he's trying to say that the chulin should be eaten betara because Manoach is nama aretz and his begadim were medras for prushim, and therefore the malach had to say that you shouldn't eat kol tuma, even tumas medras of Manoach he shouldn't eat. So he dafka had to use it for clarity in that context. But that was the malach's response to Manoach as well. You want to know why I spoke to your wife? Because you're nama aretz and I have to speak to you in such a lashon. That's what the Chasam Sofer reads into that story with Manoach. So says Gemara, wait a second. Well, you're trying to tell me that the Torah goes out of its way all the time to tell me alashon nekiya and not to use the word tamei uba oraisa milo ksiv tamei? All over the Torah the word tamei appears. So how can you say that the Torah doesn't say the word tamei? Ela kalhecha dechia dadininu mishtai b'lashon nekiya. Whenever it's the same length of letters, we always use the more refined lashon. Kalhecha din fishin mili mishtai b'lashon ktsara. But whenever it's going to be longer to say it in the more refined way, it's preferable to go with the lashon ktsara, with the shorter with the greatest amount of brevity. When teaching one's talmidim, you should have short, easy to remember phrases, things that will not be too onerous on the talmidim to have long winded conversations. But whenever it's all else is equal, then you speak in the lashon kavod. So says Marav Rocheves Yosheves Chiyadadin in Vekama Rocheves. But it says Rocheves and Yosheves are the same amount of letters, and it says Rocheves. Why does it say Rocheves? Says Mar, no, Rocheves ksiv without the vav. It says it without the vav. It doesn't say it with the vav, so it's actually shorter. So the Achronim raises the question, okay, you could have said Yosheves without the vav also, and it also would have been shorter. So there are answers to that kasha. But that's a kasha that some of the Achronim ask. Now the other kasha that everyone asks is, wait a second, we're saying a rule now that whenever it's the same amount of letters, you're always supposed to go with the Lashon Nekia. But whenever it's more letters to speak Lashon Nekia, you always have to go B'Lashon Ketzara. But we just said on Amud Aleph, the Torah went out of its way, 8 letters and 9 letters and 10 letters and 16 letters, all to speak B'Lashon Nekia. That means the Torah went longer to speak B'Lashon Nekia. So that breaks the rule that we just said over here in Amud Beis. So there are a number of Mahalchim in the Rishonim. Rashi and Tosfos seems to assume that there are specific places where we use Lashon Nekia, even though it's being marich, in order to be mochiach that there is such a maila of Lashon Nekia, that the Torah just has to do it in a few places in order to demonstrate that there is such a thing. If the Torah didn't say anything extra, we never have drawn our attention to it, and we never would have known that there's a maila of Lashon Nekia. Tosos adds that that's why the pasuk has to tell us dafka in a place that there is an arichos, because if we were to say Lashon Nekia without being marich, I never would have known that the pasuk is being makbid about that. But the Chiddush Ha'aron just points out that's difficult to understand, because in order to tell me that, it's good enough to do it once. Why does the Torah do it in so many different places? Right? We had 4 different places where the Torah went out of its way to speak in a longer lashon. So why would the Torah have to do that? So the Chiddush Ha'aron suggests that it has to tell me B'Lashon Nekia by Noach and by Mikra Laila, because by Noach says Asher Einena Torah, I would have said that it doesn't say Temeya, because by B'nai Noach there was no such thing as Behemoth Temeya yet. They didn't have an Isser of Behemoth Temeya. So I would have thought that by Noach it couldn't say Temeya, because it wouldn't have meant anything to Noach to say Temeya. So that's why we learn Asher Lo Yiatar B'Mikra Laila, that even when it could have used the word Temeya, we also use Lashon of Torah. And when it says Asher Lo Yiatar B'Mikra Laila, we could be Docha that it's Dafka by B'nai Adam that we speak that way, but not by Behemos. But since it says it in both places, it's Mitzdaver that when it says Asher Einena Torah by Behemoth, it's also Mishum Lashon Nekia. So that's how the Chiddush Ha'aron suggests. Baal Amar is an entirely different approach. Baal Amar says there are 2 different types of Lashonos. There's what's called Lashon Meguna, and there's a Lashon She'ena Shel Kavod. There's a Lashon that's a disgraceful Lashon, and a Lashon is just not the most refined. By Lashon Meguna, even if it takes longer to avoid, you go longer to avoid a Lashon Meguna. If it's a Lashon that's She'ena Shel Kavod, so then if everything is the same, then you go with the shorter one. Only if everything is the same do you go with the Lashon Nekia versus the Lashon She'ena Shel Kavod. And he suggests that the word Tameh depends on context. If you're describing the halacha of something, so then the word Tameh is just the Lashon She'ena Shel Kavod. But if you're describing not the halacha of something, you're describing an event, then it's a Lashon Meguna. So by Noach, it's describing an event. Mikra Laila is describing an event. It's not telling us the halacha of a Balkeri. So whenever it's describing an event, it's considered a Lashon Meguna, and that's worth going extra. That's worth speaking in a more long-winded fashion. The Marsha, however, suggests that Lashon Ketzara Meguna and Lashon Arucha Unikia are the same. And that's why sometimes the Torah will do one and sometimes the Torah does the other. Meaning that we have to understand this discussion on Amud Beis a little differently. That it's not always that you should speak Lashon Ketzara. It's that it's as strong a value to speak Lashon Ketzara as it is to speak Lashon Nekia. And therefore the Torah will do one or the other depending on context. Okay, says the or randomly even. So says the Gemara further now. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a series of stories about people who, through the way that they, their manner of speech, we were able to tell a lot about them. Says Gemara, Hanu Trei Talmidi. Story number one: there were 2 Talmidim, Rav Yasu Kamei de Rav, that were sitting in front of Rav Chad Amar Shavisin Naishmaita Kedover Achim Esankan. One of them said that this shear is so long it's like a tired pig. The Chad Amar Shavisin Naishmaita Kigdim Esankan said it's like a tired goat. So neither of them apparently were enjoying the shear very much, but one of them used the lashon of a behemoth tamei to describe it. So Rav wanted nothing to do with that other one, with the one that spoke in such an unrefined language. Another story, 2 Talmidim that were sitting in front of Hillel. One of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Some say it was 2 Talmidim in front of Rabbi, and Rabbi Yochanan was one of them. One of them asked the Shaila as follows: why is it that when we are Botzer, when when Botzer and Mosek are the same thing, they're harvesting. It's just like by Zaysim we call it Mosek, and by Anavim we call it Botzer. So why, when we harvest Anavim, when we harvest grapes, do we do that Betara? We're careful to do it only in Tahar Kalim, but we're not careful about the Tara when we are Mosek, Zaysim. So V'chadam Rei Ma Botzer Betara Moskin Betuma, and the other one said the opposite. The other one said same question, but instead of calling it, saying we don't do a Betara, he said we do a Betuma. So Amar Muftach Nibazesh Shemar Rabbi Yisrael. Nothing wrong with the guy that said Betuma, but the one that was careful to say that we don't do a Betara, I'm sure that he's going to be a Marah Rabbi Yisrael. Lohay Yam Watim Achahor Rabbi Yisrael. And sure enough, he grew up to become a Marah Rabbi Yisrael. To be a Marah Ra'a, a person, the language is very critical. That's what the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin, that before a person would get smicha, they didn't have to test his knowledge. Of course, no one would ever paskin without knowing the halacha. They had to test his ability to communicate. And if a person wouldn't pronounce the words properly and wouldn't say things in a way that others would understand clearly, then he couldn't be a Marah Ra'a. So such a person knows how to express himself in such a refined way, he's going to be a Marah Ra'a B'Yisrael. Then the third Maisa, Anutasakani, Chadam Alu Giani Kapul, there were three Kohanim. Each one got a chelik of the lechem upon him. One of them said, I got the size of a pull of a little bean. V'chadam Rigiani Kizayis, I got the size of an olive. V'chadam Rigiani Kizon of Alta, I got the size of a lizard's tail. So Batku Achav Matzmo Shemetz Psul, they looked into the Kohen that described the Kachi Shemayim as a lizard's tail, and they found that he had a Shemetz Psul, he had a Psul in his lineage. Says Marav Atanani, Batkin Minam Zveach L'mayla, what do you mean they found a problem in his lineage? You're not supposed to be looking into people's lineage after he's already in the Beis HaMikdash and he's already eating Kachim. You're supposed to do that beforehand, before he ever does the Avodah. You're supposed to be looking into his lineage. It's like you don't look into a Shidduch after the wedding, you look into a Shidduch before they date. You look into the Shidduch while they're dating, earlier on. So, no, not that they found a problem in his lineage, they found problems with him, that he was flawed in character. Or maybe that case is different, because normally you wouldn't look into a lineage, but when he puts up a big red flag like that by speaking in such a way, so then you have to look into his lineage. The Gemara Maseches Yuma tells us in Daf Lamed Tes that in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, there was such bracha in the Omer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him, that any Kohen who got a Kazayas would be Ochlo V'Saveya and Yesh Ochlo Amosya, that even with a Kazayas they could eat and have leftovers. So the question is raised by the Achronim, well, wait a second, isn't there a mitzvah of Achilas Kachim? So how can you have leftovers from a Kazayas? And over here also, Higiani Kipul, a pull is smaller than a Zayas. How could they give a pull to a Kohen? So that's what the Beis Halevi has a famous Yisod, where the Beis Halevi says that when it comes to most Kachim, there's no mitzvah of Achilas Kachim. There's a mitzvah that the Korban Sheyehei Ne'echal, that needs to get eaten, but it's not a mitzvah in the Maisa Achila. When you have to do a Maisa Achila, so then you have to eat a Kazayas. But when the din is only Sheyehei Ne'echal, you just can't have leftovers. You just can't have no sar. So it all has to get eaten. So as long as there are enough Kohanim for everyone to eat, no matter how tiny a piece everyone gets, so then it fulfills Sheyehei Ne'echal. He says, Korban Pesach is the exception. And that's why the Gemara says that if a person eats Korban Pesach Ba'achila Gasa, that he was not Mekai Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, but Mitzvah Mi'a Ka'avid. He still did a mitzvah. What does it mean he didn't do a mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, but he did a mitzvah? It means he didn't do the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach, but he did fulfill the mitzvah that you have by all Kachim, Sheyehei Ne'echal, that it got eaten. And that's why the Rambam counts, says the Beis Halevi, the Rambam counts the mitzvah of the Hakrava and the mitzvah of Achila by Korban Pesach as two separate mitzvahs, but by all other Korbanos as one mitzvah. Because it's part of the din of the Hakrava of the Korban, Sheyehei Ne'echal, it's din of the Korban. It's not a din in the Achila of the person. Says Gemara, story number four, Hahu Arma'a, there was an Armenian guy, Davasalik Valchupsa, a non-Jew, Davasalik Valchupsa from Yerushalayim. He used to go to Yerushalayim, pretend he was a Jew and eat Korban Pesach. So Amar Ksiv, Kol Ben Echol Le'ochol Bo, Kol Ar Le'ochol Bo, it says in the Pasuk that a Ben Necher and Arel is not allowed to eat it, V'ano Kachil Na, I check off all the boxes, I'm Ben Necher and I'm an Arel, and I eat me Shufri from the best Korban Pesach. So he was bragging about how he was able to pull the wool over the eyes of the Rabbanan. So Amalei Ravid Ben Beseira, Mikas Avilach Me'alias, Ravid Ben Beseira says, they give you the fatty tail? Amalei Lo, he says, no, they never gave me the fatty tail. So Kisak Tilasim Emelus Avilim Alia, next time you go, tell them to give you the fatty tail. I bet you they're on to you. That's why they're not giving you the best part. So Kisalik Amalei Me'alias Avili. So when he went next time, he said, I'd like to have the fatty tail. Amalei Alia Lugvos Alka. They said, that's supposed to get burnt on the Mizbeach. Amalei Man Amalachachi, who told you to ask for that? So Amalei Rabidu and Beseira. So they said, Rabidu and Beseira told me. He said, Rabidu and Beseira, the great rabbi, told me to ask for it. How can you tell me I'm not allowed to have it? So Amru, my hide to come on. So in the base of English, they start start having a tumult. Well, why would Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra say such a thing? He knows how to learn. Why would he tell him to do such a thing? So Batka Basre Vashkuchu Darmahu. So they started looking into this guy, and they found that he was an Arma'a Vikatlu, and they killed him. Shalchel Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Shalem Lach Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Da'at ben Tzivin, Mitzvah Prusim Yerushalayim. That Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, that you're all the way in the Tzivin, but your trap spreads over Yerushalayim. Tosfos bothered by the Kasha. Wait a second. Why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra in the Tzivin? Shouldn't he have been there to bring the Korban Pesach? Why wasn't he Ola the Regel? So Tosfos says, he didn't have karka, so that's why he wasn't Ola the Regel. Right? Tosfos suggests answers to why he wasn't Ola the Regel. So the Achronim raised the question, Tzlach raised the question, and forget about Aliyah the Regel. He has a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So even if someone doesn't have karka, it's part from Aliyah the Regel, he's not part from Korban Pesach. So says the Tzlach, yeah, but Korban Pesach, you don't have to, Korban Pesach is something that you have to do if you're there. If you're not there on the morning of the Chiyuv, so then what are you supposed to do? On the Srachmana Patra, you don't have to think about the Korban Pesach in advance. So Milchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Hey says, what in the world is the Tzlach talking about? You don't have to think about doing a mitzvah in advance. You could wake up in the morning of Rosh Hashanah and say, oh well, I don't have a shofar. No, you have to think about that on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Think about how you can have a shofar. You can't wake up in the morning of Sukkah and say, oh well, I don't have a sukkah. You have to think about it in advance. So this is a major machlokas, Minchas Chinuch and Tzlach. It comes up, the Chayyadim in his Kol HaMitzvos and Kol HaSamachas discusses, to what extent does a person have to put himself in a position where he's going to be able to do a mitzvah in advance of the Zman HaMitzvah? So it seems like a machlokas, Tzlach and Minchas Chinuch, whether there's any such chiyuv. There's also a major discussion over here as to why they were allowed to kill him based on this violation, but no time for now. Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the fifth story on the second to last skinny line. Everyone have a great day.